Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. As you know, we are 50 years past the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. This week, a Bible is being released saluting Dr. King as the social justice advocate he was, but more importantly, as a student of the gospel. Joining us to discuss this Bible and the commentaries that are included is Dr. Robert Scott, who wrote one of those commentaries. Dr. Scott, thank you for joining us. Dr. Scott, why did you decide this was an important project to participate in?
Well, first of all, I'm grateful to have been asked to make a commentary as far as this Bible is concerned. Being a preacher of the gospel and one who tries to be a sincere follower of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Bible, is very important to our lives. It really serves as the baseline for God's interaction with humanity. Also, I think that for me to have something that was Afrofocal in nature that could be shared as far as people of color is concerned is very important. And of course, we have many Bibles that are out there that may have that particular thrust and focus. However, this is one of the latest iterations that I believe would be very valuable in these postmodern times.
And at the center of this Bible is the life work of Dr. Martin Luther King, who was a student of the gospel and a follower of Jesus Christ, which I think sometimes somehow gets lost in our conversation about him. Why is that?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, Dr. King's personality and personhood has been co-opted by both conservatives and liberals in the sense that they look at him as a civil rights activist before they concede that he is a called gospel preacher with Baptist heritage. The unfortunate reality that we find ourselves is that King is known more for his Have a Dream speech than he is for his prophetic utterances that he would have often preached from Dexter Avenue Church as well as the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. So people tend to forget that he was a gospel preacher, one that was seminarily trained, one that took ministry very seriously. And when he was assassinated, he was co-pastoring with his father, Daddy King, in Atlanta, Georgia, at Ebenezer Baptist Church.
At the root of Dr. King's work as a social justice advocate, though, is the Bible. Is that an accurate statement?
I think that, unfortunately, we're living in a time where we raise the aspect of doing the work of social justice above what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes I'm criticized because I make that distinction. I think that Dr. King's work for social justice advocacy and human rights is tangential to the fact that he is called, was called to be a preacher of the gospel and a pastor of the Lord's church. When one engages in social activism that is void or empty of the personhood of Jesus Christ, then basically we're like any other social organization, like the NAACP, the SCLC, or the Urban League. Not saying that persons who may head up those organizations or people who are connected to those organizations do not have a faith in God. But what I am saying is that those organizations are vastly different than the calling of the church. So that being said, our work and the work of social justice for those who are disciples of Jesus Christ must be grounded in the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ, or else we're just nothing more than another social organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see the distinction. You knew a very close friend of Dr. King's. In fact, he was your mentor. Tell us about it.
Well, Dr. Y.T. Walker, bless his sainted memory, died back in January. And he was memorialized in February. I had the opportunity to participate in his memorial program that was at the first church he pastored in Petersburg, the Gilfield Baptist Church. Dr. Wyatt T. Walker was the strategist, particularly for the SCLC, and he was the first executive director of the SCLC. Dr. Walker was Martin Luther King's chief of staff, and he was one of the persons who laid out the logistics along with Bernard Rustin for the March on Washington in 1963. Dr. Wyatt T. Walker went on to become an advisor to one of the governors of New York, Nelson Rockefeller, as well as pastored the Canaan Baptist Church of Christ in Harlem, New York, for, oh gosh, I want to say nearly 40 years before he retired back in the mid-2000s. And then he had a couple of strokes and moved to Chester, Virginia, with his wife, Ann, and of course, the Lord called him from labor to refreshment back in January.
Dr. Walker, as you mentioned, passed away earlier this year. Dr. King, we know many, many years ago in 1968, and so many of those men and women who led the civil rights movement are gone. Where do we find today's leaders?
Well, interestingly, particularly with movements like the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as some other movements that we may not know in the mainstream, in today's society, you don't just have one particular person that you can look at, one particular leader. It's almost like a leaderless movement, which has its pros and cons. The pros basically is that if you take out one person, the movement still goes on. The con is trying to come up with a cohesive strategy that allows for things to move forward that will produce the change that is necessary. I think that in our particular moment of history at this particular time, there are so many things that we're trying to deal with and we're trying to overcome that sometimes we don't have that singular focus that really allows for us to hone in on what will be the best move for the most people. And so we're kind of spread out as far as trying to figure out what it is that we want to accomplish, what it is that we want to achieve. My prayer is that somewhere, sometime in the near future, that all of these groups in some shape or form will come together and try to strategize and figure out with laser focus and bulldog tenacity about two or three things that we really want to do to help improve the plight and the lives of people of color in this country.
You know, the title of this Bible, of course, is the Holy Bible, but it also references the relevant experience, the God of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And included among those contributors are Dr. Terrence Roberts, who was one of the Little Rock Nine, Mark Morial, who's the president of the Urban League, Dr. Christy Griffin, who is a civil rights advocate, Lynn Jackson, who is the great-great-granddaughter of
Dred Scott.
Dred Scott, thank you so much. I had just a moment there. And
well,
you and a number of others.
Yeah, I know Lynn because Dred Scott, when I was pastoring in St. Louis, Dred Scott and his wife were part of Central Baptist Church in the mid-1800s.
And that was the church you pastored.
And, yeah, and that was the church I served for about 17 years before I moved to Charlotte.
So
I met
Lynn
before.
So all of you who have contributed to the Bible obviously feel that this is the time and this is the book that you want to use, through which you want to speak to others about Dr. King and the God he served. What do you want folks to take away from it?
Well, First of all, it's a very timely reminder that Dr. King was a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a pastor of the Lord's Church, a preacher of the gospel, a social justice advocate, a human rights activist, that his life and his work and his ministry really transcend race and ethnicity and religion. I would love for people to be able to understand that the God of Martin Luther King is the God that loves all people, regardless of their station in life, their socioeconomic status, religious affiliation, political identity, even their sexual orientation. We're in that time now. I mean, that God loves all of us, and that God is a God that really wants to reconcile humanity and creation back to God's self, that God wants us to try to do what we can to make the kingdom of heaven a reality here on earth, and that it requires us to look at one another and understand that we all have, even in the midst of our brokenness, the image of God, and that we have the capacity that if we allow for the agape love of God to surround us and empower us, we really have the capacity to push beyond the isms that separate us and that create problems for us. We really have the potential to push beyond those things and really become the beloved community that King so tenaciously wanted to see come into the reality, because the beloved community is ultimately what the kingdom of God is all about.
Mm-hmm. So well said. And we'll leave it on that note. Dr. Robert Scott, always a pleasure to have you join us in the Village. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and blessings upon you and your work. And I am more than honored to have been included in this, and look forward to the edition coming out soon.
You're listening to the Village Celebration.